We were just talking about why they're called Song of Ascents, and we explained that there were some who argued that there were 15 steps. Certainly that was true in Bayit Sheni. There were 15 steps from the Azara, Ezrat Nashim to the Azara, and there were Levim that stood on each of those steps and sang the particular song, each of the 15 Shira Ma'alot, that are called Shira Ma'alot. Of course, we knew that that was not the case in Bayit Rishon, and there were some who argued that this was about the fact that the water had receded too low, and David HaMelech had prayed that it would rise up whatever 15 measures it went up, and so therefore it ascended. Still others say, no, the reason it's called Song of Ascents is because of a particular poetic structure. So we're going to try to make sense of that structure by looking at it and seeing what happens. What ends up happening is that you actually have kolot. Kolot are voices, if you like, and you might remember way back when in high school or in grade school when you sang rounds. Somebody started and then the next one sang the next one and then the next one sang the next line. Well, in this case, they didn't necessarily run into each other, but that they would go higher and higher and higher. And this going higher and higher is, in fact, creates a link between one line and the next line. So if you look together with me on Kuf Kaf, which is the first Shira Ma'alot, you will be able to get a sense about how we repeat a particular theme or word or phrase in the next line, but with a variation. Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon argued that in fact it would begin by being sung at a very low voice and rise each time to a higher voice and a higher key. And that is the way it was done. Let's go and see what this is. Shira Ma'alot. El Hashem Betzaratili Karati Vayaneni. Past tense. To Hashem when I was in trouble. But it doesn't say Betzarati. It says Betzarata. Li. And puts the Li afterwards. The Taf He after the word Tzarot makes it into not just a trouble, but a humongous trouble. It is a format in Hebrew in which we take a noun and we enlarge it, making it very, very big. So I was not just in trouble. I was in deep trouble. There I called and he answered me. Now Hadak says, you're talking in past tense. So he says it's past tense meant to be future tense. Namely, that somebody is so secure that though I'm in trouble right now, I know that I will call and he will answer. And he sees it in his mind's eye as if it had already happened. Others yet say, no, no, no. He's recalling that in the past he had been in big, big trouble. And he had called God and he had answered him. And on that basis, he continues now to call again. And therefore comes the next line. Hashem hatsila nafshi. God saved my soul. Misfat shekel. From lips of falsehood. From a libel. Milashon rimiya. From trickery. From language that is trickery. Namely, somebody pretending to be your friend. And not being your friend at all, but stabbing you in the back. Having picked up the word Lashon and Safa. Safa are lips. Lashon is the tongue. And when you're talking about Sfat Shekel, you not only are playing a sound on alliteration, the shin and the sin, but you're doing more than that. You are evoking the image of snake. Lashon Rimiya, a false tongue. Or as the Indians used to say, a forked tongue. Ma yiten lecha, uma yosif lecha, Lashon Rimiya. No longer is he talking to Hashem. But Pasuk Gimel, he turns to those who actually libeled him. Those who slandered him. Ma yiten lecha, what do you think it's going to give you? Ma yosif lecha, what is going to be added? Lashon Rimiya, you tricking false tongue that you are. And now comes a very difficult verse. Chitzei gibor shnunim. Shanun means highly sharpened. Chitzei gibor, a warrior's arrows. Sharpened warrior's arrows. Together with gechalei retamim. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but coal can come from several places. One of them is from underground. It's actually made of organic matter that has been put under tremendous pressure. But you also have gechalim, which are embers, made from retamim. A rotem is called a broom tree. It grows in the desert. It does not have many leaves. It has a very, very hard trunk and branches. And people would take those wood and burn it and actually turn it into coals. Now, I know that you can actually make coals. You can make coals from, or, you know, various kinds of hard organic matter. The interesting thing is about with retamim is that on the outside, it can look like it's no longer burning. And on the inside, it's still coal hot. When it is shot in the air, attached to a arrow, the oxygen, the air that actually it runs through, mm-hmm. brings it back to life. And that's the way they used to shoot these arrows in order to cross over the walls and burn their enemies' homes. Remember, now we had two parts. We had one part which was Sfat Shekel, a lie. That's the arrows. We also had Lashon Rimiya, the false tongue, the one that pretends that on the outside it's perfectly cool, but on the inside it's meant to burn you. So when you're seeing it, you don't know to be careful, says the Malbim. This is the kind of falsehood. You see, if somebody is openly hostile to you, if somebody is openly slanderous to you, you can try to talk back, you can try to fight back, you can try to protect yourself. But what about those that put a knife in your back pretending to be your friends? Those are the ones that you really don't know how to protect yourself from, because you're not, there's nothing there to indicate that what was on the inside was this burning ember. And so it's not merely that he is throwing these balustrades. It is indicating for both of those that they are sharp, hurtful arrows, but they are also hidden stones that are being thrown that are not stones at all, but upon being shot, they become inflamed and they cause terrific damage. Oyali! It's the only place in the Tanakh we have oy, but this is now oyali. Woe is to me, ki garti meshech, shachanti im ohalei kadar. Oh, woe is to me that I live. And the word that's missing here is the preposition, among meshech. I live in the tents of Kedar. We're not sure exactly who meshech is. We know about meshech Tuval. We hear about it in Bereshit, these names of people. What we do know is that it is two ends of the world. According to Radak, he talks about one, Ohalei Kedar, as Yishmaelim, Muslims, and Meshech as Christians. So the person who is writing this is living in Golus. And he is in terrible trouble because of libel, because of slander, because of defamation of the Jews. Woe is to me that I sinned and that I was thrown out of my country and was meant to live amongst Meshech, or, in contrast, among Kedar. And it was damned if you do, and damned if you don't. Each of them squishing us, right? The persecution of each of them. Radak, who lived in Spain, knew the persecution both of the Muslims that had come from North Africa and had conquered, as well as the Catholic Church there. So the Jews were trapped betwixt and between. Rabat shachnala nafshi. See, now I did this again now. Rabat. Not rav. Not halbe. But not just big, but very big. Rabat, for way too long, my soul has dwelled in Sonei Shalom with those who hate peace. Ani Shalom. I am peace. In Hebrew, there is no verb to be. Is. Are. You understand? None of that exists. Ani Shalom means I am, and in a sense it means I am for peace. I am all peace. I just want to get along. I want to coexist. V'chi edaber. And when I try to just speak, try to negotiate, try to make peace with somebody, explain myself, Hema, la milchama, they are all for war. Now, I don't think you could have found anything that is more contemporary. And it's incredible to read these things and see how nothing has really changed. Nothing has really changed. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not peace, peace. Now, you know, some of our Nevi'im say, Shalom, Shalom, Ve'en, Shalom. They spoke peace, peace, and there is no peace. And every time we try to get somebody to intervene and try to talk peace, we get into deeper and deeper trouble. It is very hard, as liberal people, to presume that not other people think like we do. It is very hard. It is considered, you understand, not only not politically correct, but it is seen as racist to presume that other nations have a completely different mindset. And yet it is a lesson of history that there really are people with completely, that think differently, that act differently, whose values are exactly opposite what our values, and there really is no basis for negotiation. Because for them, you're giving the fingers, and now I want the arm, and I not only want the arm, I actually have my head on the entire body to kill you. But I know I can't do it at once, so I'll do it incrementally. And they say so, and they write so. And they've said this throughout the ages, you understand? And yet we choose to want to, we don't want to believe it. We choose to ignore it. So, just one little, this is the first Shira Ma'alot. Now, why did I want to bring this to you in the discussion about why it's called Song of Ascents? Can you see saying this on your way to the Beit HaMikdash in the time? It just doesn't make sense. There's no kesher with Aliyah LaRegel. There's no kesher to going up to Beit HaMikdash. It makes no sense. There's no context here. Yes, there are some Shira Ma'alot that describes Yerushalayim, that describes who's coming to Yerushalayim, who's coming here, are longing for Yerushalayim. What does this have to do with anything? And that's why any of the theories that we mentioned becomes a little bit weak. Now, if I take, and I want you to just see this, Hatzila Nafshi Misfat Sheker Milshon Rimiya, since I mentioned Lashon Rimiya, I will now mention it not in the first part, but in the second part, linking verse 3 to verse 2. Now, later on, you don't see this in verse 4, you don't see this in verse 5, but you do see this again. Rabat Shachna La Nafshi, which reminds me, by the way, did you notice he's talking about his life, his soul? This is not merely a case of physical danger. This is the case, says the Radak, of spiritual danger, with both sides trying to force me to convert to their religion. And then I say, Im Sone Shalom, and then I go and say, Ani Shalom, and I repeat that, Ani Shalom. What does make sense, and because you saw that different people were addressed here, that what we would do is we would have a singer, a poet, who would start, El Hashem Bitzaratili Karati Vayaneni. Okay, and now he says, you did it in the past, I beg you again, Hashem Hatzila Nafshi Misfat Sheker Milshon Rimiya. Save me from it. The chorus now pipes in and says, Ma Yiten Lecha, Ma Yosif Lecha, Lishon Rimiya. What do you think you're going to gain by all of this? What are you going to gain by all the persecution? You're going to gain nothing. Instead, what do I see in all of the slander? you're going to gain nothing, but it's enough in order to do what? Destroy me. So those who destroyed us, those who slandered us, those who expelled us were the ones that lost. The economies of Spain in its greatness after 1492, it was a dive down. Virtually every country in which they expelled us, persecuted us, it did them not only no good, on the contrary, it came almost like retribution from God from them. But meanwhile, I'm stuck here. Oyali ki galti, back to the person that's singing this, the poet in first person. Oyali ki galti, woe is to me, I've lived. See, he's not in Yerushalayim. He's not going to Har HaBayit. He's stuck among the goyim. Between a rock and a hard place. Shachanti im ohalei kedar. Oh, how long my soul has lived among those who hate peace. That's the strife of the Jew that's in exile. Ani shalom. I seek peace. V'chi yedaber, when I just try to speak, I just try to move it forward, heima l'milchama, they're off to war. So what we have here is we have a soloist and we have a chorus, according to many of the moderns that look at this as a more than one part. We'll now go to the 124th psalm. Now you're going to see the next one, and you can see where this would maybe would have been read in Bayit Shemi. Shira Ma'alot, but interestingly, it's attributed, the first one was attributed to no one. Right. And this one is attributed to Le David. But if you look carefully, it's almost as if David could see what was going to happen. And he was writing a message in a bottle. Lulei Hashem Shehayalan. Were it not for Hashem who stood by us, who was with us, Yomar Na Yisrael, Israel should say, and now comes that word, Na. All of the Mefalshim say the word means now. Now I want to explain to you that Na is an homonym. It sounds the same. It can have two meanings. Ana Hashem Hoshia Na. Ana, and sometimes in the short fashion, Na, means please. But at the end, Ana Hashem Hoshia Na, please Hashem, save us. The Na at the end means now. I call on Israel to say now, were it not for God who was with us. And now I repeat that line. This is classic shirshur. Lulei Hashem Shehayalanu. You see, I repeat that same line. Bekum aleinu adam, when humans rose up against us. Azai chayim bilauni, then they would have swallowed us alive. Becharot apam banu, when they raged against us. Azai, you see, I repeated the word azai. Azai hamayim, and you see the play on the word chayim. Maim, they rhyme. Azai hamayim shetafunu. Then the waters had washed over us. Nachala avara nafshenu. A stream covered us like somebody drowning and being swept away by torrents of water. Azai, three times. Avar al nafshenu. Then it passed over our souls. Hamayim. Hazedonim, those raging waters. Okay, so you're seeing somebody being swallowed, and almost reminiscent of Yonah, being swallowed, and all around there's like waters, I am drowning, I am drowning, it's coming at me. Now remember what the person that wrote this at first said, were it not for God, it was then, as I, not as I, then they would have swallowed us. Baruch Hashem, thank God, shelo netananu teref leshinehem. Thank God that He did not allow us to become prey to their teeth. Nafshenu kitzipor nimleta. Our souls are like a bird that escaped from the trap. Mipach yokshim, from a trap that was meant to take her, right? Hapach nishbar, it broke, this trap. Ve'anachnu nimlatnu, and we escaped. Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, our help that helped us survive, was in the name of Hashem, who made heaven and earth. This is clearly being written for somebody who will be in Golus, who will be persecuted, who will be the remnant that survives and makes it back to Eretz Yisrael. And there David writes for them, when you come, here's what I want you to say. Were it not for Hashem who stood by us, were it not for Hashem when human beings, Adam, not beasts, Adam, but Adam that behaved worse than any beast, those that wanted to swallow us alive when they were angry at us. And then it is clearly somebody who is a remnant, the few that made it, the very, very few that made it. My sister sent me this morning a lovely little video, inspirational video, and it showed Yitzhak Perlman playing in a major concert hall when a string broke. Did you see that?
Yeah.
A string broke. Now everybody expected he who was wheelchair bound that perhaps he would get a hold of his crutches and go and find another violin. Instead he continued to play with three strings instead of four. And it was remarkable. It was remarkable, the standing ovation thereafter. Mind you, he could not play every note that was there, but he played what he could play. When it was over, he took a bow and he said to the audience, if one string is broken, you'll play three. Two are broken, you'll play two. If three are broken, you'll play one. Whatever survives, you've got to make beauty out of it. It doesn't take away from what's broken. It doesn't take away from the fact that there are strings that are no longer there. You see, this washed over us. And it's like somebody who's cast from a ship that sunk and makes it to shore, knowing that so many did not survive. And yet we are still here. So David HaMelech, seeing towards the future, wrote a poem knowing that Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed one day, but they would come back. And that's why in the second bite, as they would go up the steps, they all sang, were it not for God, we would not be here.